As we begin today, we're going to look, I don't want to scare you now, it is 10:50, and we're going to be out on time, but we're going to speed read today. You're going to take your copy of the scriptures and turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to start in Psalm 42, and we're going to look at six psalms and one other passage. Starting in Psalm 42, we sang this psalm this morning in preparation for our message. And as we begin, I want to remind you of what I said earlier. I believe that worship and prayer involves two things. First of all, it involves the pursuit of God. That is, searching hard after God. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like God was far from you? You go to National Youth Conference, young people. Or adults, you go to some other Bible conference, and you get there, well, you just have this great time with God. And then you come home, Monday morning, you hit the books at school, or you go to work, or you're just in your home, and everything about what your life is just starts to pressure you and frustrate you and take you so far away from that mountaintop experience at that conference. Well, that's what this psalmist was feeling when he wrote this psalm. It's a psalm of David, Psalm 42. And it says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While day long people say to me, where is your God? I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why am I so depressed? Why does this turmoil within me? You ever felt that? Go like this, because I know you have. Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. Notice what he says. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. And then what does he say? I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send His faithful love day by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go down in sorrow because of the enemy's oppressions? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? And then he finishes it this way, put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. May I say to you this morning that one of the ways to pursue hard after God is to begin to remember the things that He has said, to remember the things that He has written. In fact, it really comes out as we pursue His Word. You ever been at one of these conferences and boy, you're just immersed in the Word and you're immersed in prayer, you're immersed in all kinds of things, and you come to the point where you long for His Word more than anything else. And then you come home and you go, man, where did it go? Where did it go? What happened? You start pursuing God and you say, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. But everybody about me is busy telling me you don't even exist. Where do you go for the answers? You go back to His Word. You go back to the deep that calls to deep, the deep waterfalls, the deep billows of God's love. The Lord says to His faithful love by day, will send His faithful love by day, and His song will be with me in the night and a prayer to the God of my life. And then he says, I will say to God, my rock, verse 9, why have you forgotten me? But He is still my rock. That rock stands on the Word of God. It stands on who God says He is in this book. Because see, if you go and you start to pursue God in a difficult situation without His Word, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to lose sight of who He is. You're going to lose sight of how deep His love. You're going to lose sight of how fathomless His measureless, incredible care for you. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for You, O God. My soul longs for Your words. My soul longs for You. Turn over to Psalm 84. How lovely is Your dwelling place, Lord of hosts. I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she places her young, near Your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How happy are those who reside in Your house, who praise You continually. Happy are the people whose strength is in You, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, and they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears from God before God in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob, consider our shield, God. Look on the face of Your anointed one. Better a day in Your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be at the door of the house of my God than live in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and mercy and glory. He does not withhold the good of those who live with integrity. Lord of hosts, happy is a person who trusts in You. How lovely is Your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Pursuit for God not only involves pursuit of Him and His Word, but it also involves pursuit of Him and His house. The fellowship that we get with other believers. We long for His house. We long for His friendship. And we long for the friendship of others. You notice what he says? He says, I would rather dwell in the gates of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. When you're pursuing God and you need God and you need Him to wrap His loving arms around you, one of the easiest ways to do that is to come in fellowship with other believers who will wrap their arms around you. One of the easiest ways for you to really become convinced that God is there and to remind yourself of His wonderful blessing is to enjoy the blessing of brothers and sisters in Christ. Why then don't we do that? Why do we hide our hurts? Why do we hide our pain from those who desire to love us? It's like a child. And they go someplace outside in the yard and they step on something and it hurts. And they come and they're crying. And mom or dad come to them and they say, where does it hurt? What's wrong? What happened? That child doesn't sit there and say, no, I'm going to work through it myself. You know, he doesn't sit there and say, oh man, God, I know I'm going to be able to do this on my own. I don't need my parents to get this thing taken care of. When our daughter was very young, just a few years old, something she fell one day on the playground, and we didn't realize at the time, because she seemed to be doing okay, that she had a small stress crack fracture in her collarbone. We recognized it a few days later when something happened in a mall and she got out of our sight and we didn't know where she was, and we saw her all of a sudden and we ran to her and one of us grabbed her shoulder. And it just lit her up. I mean, she just started crying. We're thinking, we barely touched your shoulder. What in the world's wrong? And she was too young to tell us that her shoulder hurt or how her shoulder hurt. But with a little bit of investigation, we were able to start to deal with it. Now, when that happened, we didn't sit there and say, well, you know, suck it up. Don't worry about it. You know, it'll heal someday. You'll get over it. How many parents in this room would do that to your children? Thank you. Good. Okay, one or two. All right. Don't go to them for help, okay? You wouldn't. And the truth of the matter is that when somebody comes into the presence of God, needing him, and he needs a touch or she needs a touch from another brother or sister, that is a care and a word from the Lord, not some ethereal, I don't know what, you know, where this came from, but from the Word of God, the body of Christ is there to help. Why is it that we think they're there to hurt? We're there to help. And God will do wondrous things from his house. Look over at Psalm 81, just back a page or so. Not only should we long for his word, not only should we long for his house. Sing for joy to God our strength, shout in triumph to the God of Jacob. Lift up a song, play the tambourine, the melodious lyre and the harp. Blow the horn through the new moon and during the full moon on the day of our feast. For this is a statute of Israel, a judgment of the God of Jacob. He set it up as an ordinance for Joseph when he went throughout the land of Egypt. I heard an unfamiliar language, and I relieved my shoulder from the burden, and his hands were freed from carrying the basket. You called out in distress, and I rescued you. I answered you from the thundercloud, and I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Listen, my people, and I will admonish you. Israel, if you would only listen to me, there must not be a strange God among you. You must not bow down to a foreign God. I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people will not listen to me. Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own plans. If only my people would listen to me and Israel would follow my ways, I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would pretend submission to him. Their doom would last forever, but he would feed Israel with the best wheat. I would satisfy you with honey from the rock. God is speaking here. And again, the question begs itself, why come to God? Because he's going to ignore you? You're going through a desert, and he's standing there with a pitcher of cool water. And he says, no, I'm not going to give that to you. I'm holding it for somebody else. I just don't have quite enough. He calls us to sing praise to him. He calls us to worship him. He calls us to enjoy him. And many of us set our minds against him. We go through difficult times, and our answer to God is, why are you doing this to me? We go through tough times in our life, and we come to God, and we say, I don't know if I can trust you because I'm going through this difficult time. And the truth of the matter is, those times are there to shape us into his image. Those times are there to let us worship him and to enjoy him. Those times are there so that we can know that he is God, if we only trust in him. He says, if they would only listen to me, I'll admonish you, he says in verse 8. If you'll only listen to me, be careful not to listen to strange gods and not to worship them and not to have their altars in your house. But if you worship me, I'll give you rest. I'll carry the burden. If you'll worship me, I'll give you the water that you need for your thirst. If you worship me, I will enjoy you. We pursue God by longing for his word, longing for his house, and longing for him. We pursue God by knowing him. But that's not it. That's not all there is to worship. Turn over to Psalm 98. Psalm 98 begins a section where most of the next few sections are all about praising God. These are beautiful psalms. We start by praising him. Look at Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known, and he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, and he has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with a lyre and melodious song. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. Praise him. In my Bible, there's a little heading under the Psalm 98. It says, praise the King. Just coming into the presence of God and beginning to praise him, to worship him, to lift up his name. Those are the things that God admonishes us to do. Those are the things that God wants us to accomplish. Look at Psalm 99 right after that. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. The mighty King loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and the righteousness and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in his pillar of cloud and they kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were a God who forgave them but punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. We praise him in proclamation. We not only praise him, we proclaim him. What do we proclaim? We proclaim a holy God. We proclaim a God that punishes our misdeeds, but who rejoices with us when we do right. We proclaim a God who is above all others. Anyone who could possibly be worshipped does not stand in comparison to our God, because he is holy. And so when we come together to worship him in prayer, one of the things we want to do is we want to declare who he is. We want to proclaim that he is God and he is holy. And we must worship him from his holy mountain. But not only that, look at Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures to all generations. There's a key verse in there, verse 2. Shout triumphantly to the Lord all the earth. And then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. One of the ways in which we praise God is not just praising him, not just saying, God, you are wonderful, not just proclaiming his name to others and to him, but we also praise God in service. We praise him when we serve him. The things that we do are all about serving God. You notice what he calls him there? We are the sheep of his pasture. We're not only his people, we're the sheep of his pasture. The sheep were there not only to be cared for by the shepherd, but to serve the shepherd. How did they serve the shepherd? They gave their wool. They gave of what they had in order to be used by the shepherd. Sometimes it was their life and their meat. They were sometimes used as sacrifice. And sometimes God calls us to serve in all of those different ways. Not only the resources that we have, but sometimes our whole life is about knowing God. Everybody knows the story of Eric Liddell and the Olympic Games, where he chose not to serve on Sunday in the Olympics and run his race that he was scheduled to run, and instead ran a different race because he did not want to disgrace the God that he served by what he believed was a wrong act. to race on Sunday. And the result was that he won the race. But most people's knowledge of Eric Little stops there. What most people don't recognize is that he was not only an Olympic gold medalist, he was not only one of the fastest men on earth in his time, but he was also a missionary for Jesus Christ. And later in his life, he went to communist China. And during the communist uprising and the process of establishing communist China, Eric Little lost his life as a martyr in China. Few people recognize that not only did this sheep give of what God had given him in his talent, his wool, but he also gave his life. And that was an act of service, but it was also an act of praise to God. God has called us to serve Him. Every believer has a gift. Therefore, every believer has a ministry. What is it that God has called you to do? Because whatever it is that you do in the name of the Lord is an act of praise before Him. Amen? Well, you don't sound very convinced. Everything that you do in service to God is an act of praise before Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it is. So what's our faith lesson for the day? Well, I would say that our faith lesson is that true worship is a result of constantly being drawn to God. And that needs to show not only in our lifestyle, it needs to show in our prayers. You see, because worship itself, by application, is a lifestyle, not a style. So when we come to God, we come to God in such a way that we come humbly before Him. But everything that we do in this morning, on Sunday morning, should be an outflow of what God is doing in our life during the week. This is not the worship service. This is a gathering of believers who have spent the week in worship of their God, and this is simply the outflow of that. This is simply the water flowing out from the rock of God. We call it a worship service, but truthfully, if what we want to do is honestly worship Him as a church, it needs to stop being about style. It needs to stop being about a time. It needs to stop being about the things that we believe are the way that we would act and dress. And it needs to be about a relationship with God. We need to be in pursuit of Him every day. And we need to praise Him every day. And we need to enjoy Him every day. And we need to lift His name and proclaim Him every day. And we need to serve Him every day. Worship is an automatic response to the true worshiper in prayer. Turn over with me to Daniel chapter 9 as we close. I want to draw to you not just the psalmist's applications, but a practical application. Let me try to lay the groundwork for you. Daniel here is in the first year of Darius the Mede, which means that he is somewhere in the range of about 80 to 85 years old. As an 80 to 85-year-old man, Daniel has made his lifestyle a lifestyle of prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, we find out that Daniel prayed before an open window three times a day before God, pouring his heart out to God for the things that he wanted to see accomplished and that he believed that God wanted accomplished. And what happens here is Daniel begins to recognize that it's time for the time of desolation to be ended. The 70-year captivity is coming to an end. And Daniel doesn't just believe that God is going to only accomplish His will because of His decree. He also understands another important point. God is going to accomplish His will because God's people pray for it. God's people pray for God's will, and God's will is accomplished. And so in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, who was the son of Ahasuerus, was a Mede by birth and was ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books, according to the words of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petitions with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now notice Daniel's prayer. See if he pursues God, pursues his word, pursues God's people. See if what he does is he begins to praise God and worship God and proclaim him and serve him. Verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Ah, Lord God, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments. Think he's pursuing God there? Think he's proclaiming who God is? The awe-inspiring God. The God who is above every God. The God who is above every name. Ah, Lord God. The great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commandment. We have sinned. Not they have sinned. Here's a righteous man. And in the presence of a holy God, he recognizes that he too is a sinner. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled and turned away from your commandments and ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name and to our kings, your name to our kings and leaders and fathers and all the people of the land. Daniel here comes into the presence of a holy God and he proclaims who he is, and then he begins to pursue him by first putting himself in the right place before God. He says, I have sinned. I am a sinful person. I live in a land of sinful people, and we have not listened to your word. We have not pursued your word. Lord, righteousness belongs to you. But this day, public shame belongs to us. You are the righteous God. We are your shameful followers. The men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are near, those who are far, in all the countries where you have dispersed them because of the disloyalty that they have shown to you, Lord, public shame belongs to us, our kings and our leaders and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by following his instructions that he set before us through his servants and prophets. It's interesting. Daniel recognized the process of worship in prayer before he ever came to God to worship him, before he ever came to God to proclaim him, before he ever came to God to petition him for what he wanted. He recognized that first he had to be right before him. He had to pursue him. He confesses his sins and the sins of his nation. And then as he does, all the way through, he is proclaiming who God is. He's praising him. He's the awe-inspiring God. He's the God of righteousness. He's the God of compassion and mercy. He's the God of love. You see, the problem with prayer is we often come to God with our petitions. God, I need this. Here's my list, God. My grocery list. Can we get it taken care of quick? Daniel was a man of prayer, and yet even when he prayed three times a day for extended periods in front of an open window, he saw the need to come into the presence of a holy God and proclaim who he is, to pursue him through confession, through proclamation of his word and pursuing his word, to lay out before God his own unworthiness so that he could truly worship him. Where are you today? I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. It may have been years since you felt close to God. It may have been months, weeks. Maybe that you have never felt close to God. That your decision for Jesus Christ is more intellectual than it is relational. It may have been a long time since you have stood before a holy God and been able to proclaim him. Before you have stood before a holy God and been able to say, you are awe-inspiring. Your words are like honey to my mouth. I long for you like a deer pants for streams of water. I want to lap up your word, and I want to lap up you like I lap up cool water in a stream. It may have been a long time since you've been able to say, I love your people because they represent you. They do what you want done on this earth. They accomplish your will. They are your sheep. It may have been a long time since you've been able to just praise Him. But worship and prayer is a prerequisite before petition comes. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then it says, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Doesn't say bring all your requests. It says first, take time to rejoice in Him. Take time to worship Him. Take time to enjoy Him. You see, so often I think we feel far from God because we come to Him with all this stuff. We've got all these petitions, all these desires, all these wishes. And God's just saying to us, you know, I can handle that stuff. I just want to spend time with you. I want to be able to worship or have you worship me. I want you to be able to come into my presence in the right way, not just like a little child with their hand out for candy, but to enjoy you. You may be here today and you may be searching for God. You've never experienced God on that level. Well, I'm here to say that there are people here who would love to introduce you to that God. You may be here today and you may be hurting in ways that you could never feel like you could ever express, and yet you know that God is calling you to confess that stuff and to give it over and to let other people know about it so they can pray and they can help and they can support and they can come alongside and put an arm around. Just this morning, one of our young men came to me and asked for prayer for a friend who's going through very difficult times. Brokenhearted. You know, that's not what we do here, is just take somebody and say, oh yeah, yeah, I'll take care of that later. We stopped for a moment and we prayed. And we petitioned God by recognizing that He is a God of heaven, the awe-inspiring God, the God above all the universe. I don't know where you are. I know that I spend far too much time worrying about my agenda and far too little time thinking about God's. I don't know what you're going to do today, but I encourage you to worship Him in prayer.